Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this bright and sunny day. We're all happy to have you here today. A few announcements. First of all, we want to welcome back Ingrid to here. This is her second time here. She was just telling me, I didn't want to try and pronounce her last name since I would slaughter it, but she says her students always call her Miss Ing. So. So we appreciate having Ingrid back. You can read her bio in the bulletin. Two other announcements. One is Thursday on the 20th. Kimberly Norris is going to be here at 6 o'clock in talking about the website branding. This was announced some time ago. And also a reminder, coming up on August 13th, Heartwood Acres is where we're meeting at. There are multiple churches meeting at Heartwood Acres, so there's no service here on the 13th of August, to keep that in mind. Yes, Arlie.
Can you clarify in the email the time for Thursday? Because last week it was announced as 6:30.
Okay, I may be wrong. 6:30 sounds right. Sure, I will. Yeah. Thank you for I'll send that out to everyone. Okay. And with that, we'll turn it over to Ingrid to start our service.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is the beautiful day that the Lord has made. Let us begin our service this morning with the call to worship, if you'd like to read along with me. O loving Creator, we come with expectation.
We are eager to see your face and one another. We are eager to hear your word.
O Rabbi Jesus, our teacher,
may you listen with our hearts as well as our ears.
O guiding Spirit,
may we sense you all around us, within us, and may we be transformed by your wisdom and guidance.
Amen. And let us sing together, Sing to the Lord of Harvest.
Thank you.
Join with me in our prayer of confession. God, our Redeemer, the words of our mouths often lead to hurt and harm. We tear down when we could build up. We speak of death and destruction when the power of life resides in our tongues. We say what is unnecessary and unhelpful while hesitating to offer encouragement and hope. Transform our speech as you write your word into our hearts. Stir us to speak life, joy, and love in all things. Amen. Romans 8:1 tells us, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God does not shame or condemnation. Rather, the one who is holy makes us holy, restored and whole. Receive the grace of God as it is freely given. Be empowered by the one who observes you and declares your good. Know that you are loved, forgiven, and transformed in Jesus Christ. We are loved, forgiven, and transformed. Thanks be to God." Let us confess the faith of our baptism. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us greet one another with some sign of God's peace. Hey, y'all. you, Miss Mickey. Thank you, choir. Wow. As we prepare to come before God again in prayer today, I would ask you to take note of the prayer concerns that are mentioned in the bulletin, and also add to your hearts Herschel and Lauren, just a prayer for them, for patience and guidance. And now as we come to God again in prayer, God is already waiting for us. God is present among us. Let us begin with a moment of quiet to center ourselves. Loving Creator, your word tells us that you decided to make us human beings in your divine image. And when we think about what that means, we can scarcely believe it. Help us to remember our birthright. Help us to remember that when the trials and sadness and the experiences of this world seem as if they are stronger than we are, that is simply not true, because we are made in your image, because we have you walking with us, because you call us your beloved. And when we look at one another, whether near or far, or on television or on Twitter, we know, God, that you love each and every soul, those who are just waking up now, those who are just going to sleep. And we pray for those around the world, in our neighborhoods, in our families, who are hurting, oh God, and we ask that they would feel their birthright, that they would feel, and that we would help them to feel your presence within and around them. Loving Rabbi Jesus, indeed you are a teacher. Your words were so profound. Your love was so enormously demonstrated, so boldly, that it cost you your life. And yet you gave it willingly. You were willing to demonstrate to the government, to demonstrate to the world, to demonstrate to your enemies that nothing can stop fierce love, that nothing is more important than love, with justice for all. Help us, O Jesus, to walk in your way. Help us to be strengthened by your word. Help us to reach out as we can to one another, so that all might have the love and abundant life that you have promised. Holy Spirit, we ask all of these things, and we are weary with hurts, and we are nervous about upcoming uncertainties, and we have our own challenges, but yet we also know that you were given to us, that you are our advocate, our paraclete, the one who empowers us. And help us, O Spirit, to your wisdom. We ask all of this and the unspoken concerns of our hearts in the name of the one who is known by many names, but whom we call Jesus the Christ, the one who taught us and his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us sing together, A Sower Came from Ancient Hills. Let us return to God a portion of the blessings we have received with our tithes and offerings.
Reading is taken from Matthew 13, verses 1 to 9 and 18 to 23, the parable of the sower. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on a path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. If you have ears, hear. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while, and when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of his age and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Bless the reading of the word.
Thank you, Miss Arley. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A priest and a nun were out in the community doing good works, and they were making visits, and the day began to wane, and it was cold on into the fall, and so they knew that they were not going to return back to their home-based church. And so in time, the priest and the nun started to look for some place where they could spend the night. And they came upon a small cabin. It looked like it perhaps was made for a hunting shack, that kind of thing. And the priest went up and tried the door, and it was open. And so he went inside with the sister, and there was a cot on one side of the cabin and a stack of blankets. And being the kind father that he was, the priest offered the cot to the sister, and he covered her up with a blanket. And then he himself took a blanket and began to lie down on the ground. After a few moments, the sister said, "Father, I am so cold." And so the kind priest got up and he took another blanket and put it over the sister. And then he got back down under his blanket on the cold floor of the cabin. Just as he was about to drift off to sleep, the sister spoke again, "Oh, Father, I am sorry. I am still so cold." And so the kind father got up, took another blanket, and tucked the sister in before returning to the cabin floor. About 20 minutes later, the sister spoke again, "Father, I am so embarrassed. I am just chilled to the bone." And the priest was quiet for a moment. He was thinking. And he said, "Dear sister, I think we have a problem here. And the way I see it, we could solve it one of two ways. I could get up and get you another blanket. Or tonight, we could act as if we were married." And the sister was quiet for a while. And then she said, with a somewhat embarrassed but yet joyful response, "Oh, Father, I would like that very much." And so the priest replied, "Well, then get up and get your own dang blanket." Now, I tell that story because it's a great story, right? It's a great story. It's a cheap laugh. No, but it's good. That's not the only reason why I tell it. I tell it because the point of that story, I think, what it highlights for me anyway, is that we often overlook or take for granted that which is familiar. You're married to the same person, you're partnered with the same person for years, and you get into a routine. You know, you don't even really take a second look sometimes. You take that person for granted, maybe. You know, there's no need to be a little extra. And that actually happens a lot with these parables of Jesus. Now, if we've been going to church for any amount of time, we have heard these parables, these stories that Jesus told many times. And even if we don't go to church, people know the stories of the prodigal son, the Good Samaritan. And many know this story, the parable of the sower. Parables are the stories that we heard in Sunday school, and they're the ones, some of them anyway, are made into little cartoons. Because parables, they give you that nice, fuzzy, familiar feeling. Oh yes, here's Jesus telling us stories again. How nice. But the thing is, parables aren't made to make everyone feel cozy and warm. Jesus told parables with a purpose in mind. And scholars have put it this way. Parables that Jesus told were meant to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Because let's face it, these stories of Jesus, they're part of why the government executed him. Because these stories are powerful. And sometimes we forget that parables have many different meanings. I can read a parable one day and come away with a message, with something I learned. And then I can read that same parable a year later and find something new. You can hear a parable and get something from it, and it might be completely different from what you got from that story. And for years, I've heard this parable preached, and I preached the parable with the same message. God is the sower, of course, right? And we are the soil. And so we have to start thinking about, I have to start thinking, what kind of soil am I? Am I good soil? Am I rocky soil? Have I ever been the thorny soil? And what kind of soil do I want to be? Will God's love sprout, or will I let it wither and die? But this time, when I read the parable, what jumped out at me first was the title. Now, granted, Jesus didn't name all the parables, but in the way Matthew tells this story, he did name this one. And Arlie read that. When Jesus explains the parable in the story, he says, "Hear then the parable of the sower." And Jesus explains what the story means. It's one of the few that he did explain. Matthew tells the story in this way, which invites us to look at the sower. If the only thing we were supposed to look at in this story was the conditions of the different soils, it'd be called the parable of the soil. So let's look at the sower. Now, I don't garden at all. Do we have any gardeners in here? Any gardeners? All right. My mom was a wild gardener. She just loved to garden. And she was a member of the garden club, and I know I was a disappointment in that regard. I mean, dandelions are my favorite flower, and it turns out they're a weed, right? But I watched my mother tend to her garden. And I work up at the Shaler Library, and members of the Shaler Garden Club, they are there all the time. They were there this morning, tending to the garden. And I'm glad you came today, Mrs. Lissack, because I remember from when I was really little the way that you and your husband took care of the beautiful landscape on Hodel Road. You put work into that. It was gorgeous. Gardening, landscaping, it takes skill. It takes patience. It takes intention. And it can be expensive. I know that gardeners just don't plant seeds anywhere. They plant seeds once they find the right place and tend to the soil first. I know they just don't scatter seeds everywhere. A smart gardener isn't going to waste their time with shallow ground. A smart gardener isn't going to just throw seeds into the air and hope they don't get carried away by birds. A smart gardener isn't going to waste seeds like this sower does. What kind of sower do we have here? If we look at the parable with the idea that the sower is God, well, God isn't very much of a gardener by our standards. God, why are you wasting seeds on ground that you know isn't ready to receive it? Well, we see a God who knows that some people aren't ready right then to receive God's message, but God gives it to him anyway. We see a God who knows that sometimes, and maybe you've had this experience, I have, that you are on rocky soil. You are on ground that is not stable because of the trials that you or those whom you love are going through. And you might not want to hear God's word of love, but God gives it anyway. God tries to plant God's message of love. It doesn't matter if now's the time it's going to sink in. God will just keep planting. What a foolish gardener. What a foolish, wise, extravagant gardener. What a truly wonderful gardener our God is. My mommy spent the last month of her life in Kane Nursing Home. And we both fell in love with the caregivers and the other residents. And I would stop and visit many of the other residents when I went to see mom. And in 2019, the ladies who knit, the Shaler Library has a knitting group, and what they did was they knitted squares of beautiful colors, and then they took stuffed animals and they sewed them into these little blankets that they made, and their intention was to give them to children at Children's Hospital. Well, it turns out that after they made some, like, 3-4 dozen of these little stuffies in swaddling knitted blankets, they were not allowed to do that. That was not able. And so one of them knew my mom was at John Cain, and she asked, "Do you think that the residents at John Cain would be interested?" And I thought, well, I mean, who doesn't love a stuffed animal? And they could always turn it down if they think it's too silly. And so I would walk from room to room with these knitted squares. They're like little swaddled monkeys and frogs and unicorns with great big eyes. And I had a relationship with many of the residents, but there was one guy who really intimidated me. He was a really big guy down at the end of one hall. I think he might have been the only guy in that hall. And he had a nose that kind of looked like it had been rearranged a few times from fights. And his room was really sparse, and he always kept the light off because he always had the TV blaring anyway, and it was always one of those action movies with lots of noise and gunfire, and I thought, oh, well, why bother him, right? He kept to himself anyway. So when I did bring in the several dozen little stuffed animals, I figured I don't want to bother John. John's not going to want a little puppy in a purple blanket. But for whatever reason, I did. I remember coming into his room and stammering. I explained the whole thing, and I was shouting over the killings on the TV, and the last thing I said was something like, "And you know, if you don't want it, maybe you can give it to your grandkids when they visit." And the man just looked at me and nodded and said, "Yeah, I'll give it to a grandkid. Thanks." And he reached out his hand, and I gave it to him. I don't know if that guy really had a grandkid, but he never did give it to anyone. And every time I went in after that, I stopped by his room just to say hi. We never became, you know, best buddies, but I'd say hi, I'd give me a head nod. And that little stuffy was always right there by him. And one of the CNAs told me, she said, "He just loves that thing." She said, "One day I moved it so he couldn't see it, and he said, 'Put that back here where I can see it.'" And that little seed of love from the library knitting group sprouted into something lovely for that man. And I'm glad that the knitters were willing to spread their seeds on unlikely ground. Made for kids, but let's see if the residents at John Cain want this. And I'm glad that God helped me overcome my nerves to help the knitting club spread that. And I'm most eternally grateful that our God is the kind of God, the kind of gardener, who spreads love and grace indiscriminately, whether we're ready to receive it or not, whether we look like somebody who's ready to receive it or not, whether we can appreciate it or not. We have an extravagant gardener. And we can also be grateful and look for opportunities where we can sow that extravagant love. Because one thing that sometimes I forget about these seeds of love of God's, seeds that we plant, they are limited. There's a finite number of seeds. So you do have to give them out judiciously, wisely. But the seeds of God's love, the grace, the wideness of God's mercy, that will never run out. And so we, with God, can be God's garden club and spread those seeds everywhere. May it be so. Let us sing together our closing hymn, number 729, "Lord, I Want to Be a Christian."
Spirit be with you and all those whom you love this day, this night, and throughout all eternity. Amen.